Community Matters. Solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference. From your encouraging PER, here's your host, Joshua Tubbs.
Good morning. You are tuning into Community Matters on your encouraging PER. I'm Josh Tubbs. Well, today we have Janet and Julie. They are from Virginia's Kids Belong, and they are here to kind of talk about a lot of what they do and fostering in the Virginia area. And I'm really excited for you guys to hear everything that they have. Teresa has been talking them up, and Vicky's been talking them up as well. And so I'm real excited for you all to be able to hear what they have to say. So Janet and Julie, how are you guys doing today?
Great.
Good.
Good. All right. So Janet, how did Virginia's Kids Belong get started?
Well, it got started in earnest a couple of years ago, but the journey, as so many great stories are, started long before that. I was Secretary of the Commonwealth for Virginia from 2010 to 2014. A few months into my term, met a woman on the sidewalk at a mall outside a Chick-fil-A. And it was pretty much a numbers game. I think God knew I was going to be at Chick-fil-A at 10:30 on a Wednesday morning, and he just sent the right person to me. And this mom was in crisis. She was pregnant and lost, and needed a friend, needed directions. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was too. I thought my life of comfort and convenience was a great one. Looking back, I didn't realize just how lost I was. And she and I became friends that day. She was in a crisis pregnancy situation, and she started coming to my church. Ended up with a beautiful healthy baby boy born later that November. And we became friends. Fast forward a couple of years, and the family had fallen into crisis, and I ended up getting married in April of 2012, heard about the foster care crisis from my pastor. So even though I had been in state government and federal government for, at that point, 15 years, I had no idea there was a foster care crisis. My husband and I get married. We go to a foster care and adoption rally that my pastor had. We hear all about Virginia's foster care crisis, how Virginia at the time was 50th in permanency, meaning we do the worst job at finding homes for kids once they're available for adoption. 500 kids age out in Virginia every year. 89% of those kids go on to be addicted, incarcerated, homeless, or pregnant within 2 years. And it cost taxpayers $300,000. And so I heard all these things. My husband obviously was with me at the time, heard all of these things. And we were just really affected by those numbers. So decided to quote, do something about it, didn't know exactly what. And then 9 days later, we got a call from this little boy's guardian ad litem, the little boy whose mom I met on the sidewalk outside the mall. And we were asked to take custody of him. And, you know, honestly, at the time, we weren't sure it was the right thing to do. But after a lot of prayer, said yes. We also found out we were pregnant the next day after we got custody of him. So things happened really quickly for us. We've now been married 7 years. But those first few months were really not an easy time. From that story, our own personal story, a campaign was launched in Virginia the following year called Virginia Adopts that matched a ton of kids with adoptive families. And that was sort of God leading us out of government and politics. My husband was also in politics into the foster care space. So now Ryan and I both work in the foster care space to solve the foster care crisis in the United States. Specifically, I'm focused in Virginia. And the organization that we helped to co-found is called America's Kids Belong. I'm the president of its state affiliate, Virginia's Kids Belong. And it seeks to empower government, faith, creative, and business leaders to end the crisis for children, families, and social workers in our foster care system.
Mm. Nice. So then, Julie, how did you come to be involved with it?
Yeah, so I basically fell into this world through meeting a young man in a mentorship program. A good friend of mine came to me and said, you know, I think you'd make a really good mentor for kids in foster care. And I said, oh, really? And at the time, I had been feeling a desire to get more involved in my community, but I didn't even know where to start. And I've always been good with kids. And so I said, okay. So I became a mentor to an 11-year-old boy in foster care. And I mean, our relationship became so strong that I followed him essentially out of his group home that he was in when he was placed into a foster home. I became really good friends with his foster parents. Then he wound up reunified, meaning he got to go home to his birth family.
Oh, wow.
I followed him, quote unquote, to them as well, and I've become friends with his birth mom and siblings. And all of that was the personal inspiration. I then started working for a treatment foster care agency. And in that agency, I was only admin, meaning I wasn't a clinician, but I wanted to be involved any way that I could. So I worked kind of behind the scenes. And because of that, I was able to see a lot of the inner workings of foster care. And all I could think during that whole time I was there was, the problems are big. They're really big, and they need to be tackled from a macro level. All of these, I just felt like a cog in a broken wheel, if that makes sense. So I remember I was backstage at my church because I'm on the band, and I remember telling my pastor this, and he goes, "Do you know Janet Kelly?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Well, you should." So that's how we got connected. And I just started working for her. I was like, I can't work for you for, you know, full time because I have a job, but what can I do for you right now for free? Just tell me what you need, because our mission is the same.
Yeah. Nice. So I want to bring it back to you, Janet, just for a second, because one thing I like to try to do whenever we do have any sort of ministry or nonprofit show up with adoption and fostering and things like that is kind of go through the myths of adoption and fostering, because there are so many. And, you know, it. I always take this show in stride with, you never know who God's put in front of the speakers. So, you know, a kid, for anyone who may either be thinking about adoption or maybe thinking about fostering, what are kind of some of those myths that you can kind of help educate them are not true?
So before I got into the space, when I thought of adoption, I thought of private infant adoption or international adoption. I had no idea that there were kids right here in the foster care system in Virginia that needed permanent homes. And it was a total wake-up call for me to know that the same kids that were in our foster care system were just like the kids that are in foreign country orphanages. They were there for the same reasons. Their parents weren't necessarily dead. They couldn't take care of them for addiction or poverty reasons or other reasons that are just complicated and complex. And so huge wake-up call, first of all, to realize adoption in Virginia doesn't just look like adopting babies. It doesn't just look like adopting an adorable child from overseas. In our case, it looks like, in Virginia's case, it looks like adopting a kid who's 9 or 10 or 14 or 15 even years old. There are younger kids in the system, but by and large, there are a lot of children who are over the age of 13 in the system. And I also, when I thought of foster care, I will tell you, when I thought of adoption, I had this beautiful image in my head of just a loving mother holding their infant. You know, when I thought of foster care, whoa. I mean, I remember the first time I met a foster mom, and I remember looking at her and thinking, and I didn't say it, I thought, why in the world would anybody do that? Now, God has a great sense of humor, because now all I do is spend time asking people to be a foster parent or follow God's heart into this space to care for vulnerable children. But I learned a lot. And I think a lot of the misconceptions I had in my head about kids in foster care, we just videoed a girl last week who aged out. And I said, what do you want people in the community to know about you? And she looked right in the camera and she said, that I'm not a drug dealer. And I had the same reaction. I was like, I just started laughing. I'm like, oh, you're serious. Like, she really thinks. And I was like, but having, like, that's what I thought of those kids, if I'm being honest, all those years ago before now I'm in it and I meet them and they're amazing. They're just like my, you know, we have obviously one that's adopted. They're just like my kids. They're just like my kids. They're not any less smart. They're not any less hardworking. They've come from a hard place through no fault of their own. And so that's sort of the first thing, is that kids go into foster care because they're bad. The truth is that kids don't go into foster care because they're bad. They go in because they've been let down by adults in their lives who are supposed to take care of them. We have a saying in this space that kids aren't bad, they're sad. Kids in foster care aren't bad, they're sad. And you know, to the extent that they have behaviors where they're acting out, it's not because they're innately bad. It's because they're sad kids, because they've had trauma happen to them that they're struggling through. Some other things: you don't have to own your own home in Virginia to be a foster parent. You don't have to be married to be a foster parent. You have to be 21 years old, and you don't have to make a lot of money. You do need to not need the money, the stipend, because it's not that much. Trust me, if you're getting into foster care to make money, it is not worth it. I'll just stop you right there. Just don't do it. All you really need is room in your heart and your home, and a humility that can love a kid from a hard place and be willing to learn. Honestly, like right now, my husband and I, 7 years after we got our son, are learning a different language. We're learning a different way to parent. And I am probably the least patient person on the planet. And so it's been hard for us. But I will say, even on the hard days, it is the best thing we've ever done. And God has used my son to make me more Christ-like. And, you know, if it hadn't been foster care or adoption, it could be cancer. It could be a car wreck. It could be a health issue. He's going to use something. If you ask and you pray to be Christ-like, he's going to use something. And so, you know, by all stretch, you know, that this it is a form. You're signing up for some hard stuff. There is an element of suffering because you have to change in order to be a good one. But at the end of the day, I am so overjoyed at the thousands of people across Virginia who have stepped up to do this, and so grateful. And I think if you talk to any of them, every one of them would say the same thing. It's kind of like being married. Is it hard? Absolutely. Is it worth it? Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Julie, because she talks a lot about, you know, they're not bad kids, they're sad kids, and acting out from just that place of sadness, and, you know, having a home and a heart just to be able to accept some kids going through some hard times. You know, you had that opportunity to stand next to a kid who was going through hard times, and you have been through the walk of his life. And so what's been kind of your experience just watching, you know, him grow up and things like that?
Yeah, it's very eye-opening, very humbling, very rich. I think a lot of people in our day and age, our culture, are struggling a lot with these feelings of disconnection, feelings of, I guess, a lack of authenticity, because a lot of things are very surface level right now. We have a lot of technology. We are so connected, and yet everything feels so shallow. Mm. And I promise you, if you get into this space, they don't have the luxury to be shallow. There is nothing but deep, rich connection. And that is sometimes really messy, but it is so worth it. I mean, this kid, he's 16 now. He was 11 when I met him. So very different. and it hasn't always been an easy road. You know, he's been through a lot. His family's been through a lot. And yet, I know this sounds silly, but I didn't really have to do that much. You know, I think there's different levels that you can get involved. I think a lot of people think, oh my God, I have to give up my whole life, whatever that might mean. I have to, you know, change everything about, you know, and I've got to become a saint, basically. And honestly, what really matters is being there and letting someone know, letting a kid know, you have me and I'm not going anywhere. Because these kids are very used to people coming into their life and then leaving. And I even realized, like, I love the group that I'm mentored with, but even their mentorship program is set up in such a way that it's kind of like, oh, well, they're going back to their birth family, say bye. And well, all that really does is re-traumatize in a way. It just reminds the kid, oh, one more person who's come into my life and left. And I didn't know this at the time. I didn't know that's how the system kind of accidentally works. But I didn't let go of the kid. And he's 16 and now finally opening up and telling me certain things. Because the way that it worked is as a mentor, you don't read the kid's file. You start fresh, which is not something that they're used to. I only knew him as who he was. I didn't know all of his medical history and all his stuff that a lot of people do. So, but it takes time. But really, if you give your time and you give your heart, it's amazing what happens. And honestly, these kids need healing, but healing will happen, but they will happen in the context of relationships.
Yeah. And I've always found it interesting because I, you know, it's been one of those things where I had those preconceptions as well. about fostering before I started to do interviews with people involved in the foster care system. And it really does open your mind to a lot of things that you didn't know before. And I find it interesting how, you do think fostering is just this, it is a challenge, but you think it's grander than it is. But at the heart of it, you just have to be a parent, just be there for mm-hmm. them. And that's it. And
absolutely right.
So do you guys do anything in the community, like events or anything like that, to kind of help raise awareness or just bring the community together with you guys?
So a key part of what we do is awareness. So thank you, Josh, for having us on. I appreciate that. Thank you, WPER. We aren't just here in the studio today. We listen to you all the time.
Nice.
WPER is the soundtrack of our lives. So thank you. We also, and even as Julie's talking, she is talks so much about mentoring. I feel like it's really important that people understand that, yes, there is a dire need for foster families in Virginia. 5,300 kids, 3,000 foster families. That math literally does not add up, right? So we definitely need more foster families. 60% of foster families who can adopt once their kids their parental rights have been terminated end up adopting out of that foster care placement, right? So the kid's in their home. It's great for the kid. They already know the kid. They already are familiar with the kid. They end up adopting that child. But not everybody can foster or adopt. We know that. But everybody can do something to care. And if you're a follower of Christ, the question of whether you should do something to take care of vulnerable children in our community is not really the question. It's how. Right. And so what we do some awareness things. We don't have any upcoming events necessarily coming up in your listener area, but we encourage everyone in the community to talk to their pastor about what their local community, what their local body of Christ is doing to engage on this issue. And through the local church, so the government has the kids, right? They have legal custody of these children. The church can do so much. And it's the only institution that's really equipped to handle this crisis. We've got churches on every corner just about in Virginia. They have people, they have buildings, they have resources, they have intellectual property, they have life experience, they have social capital that can solve this problem. And if you, again, read scripture, it's pretty clear whose job it is to take care of these kids. And, as a conservative, anytime the community can do something that the government is doing currently, I think the community should do it, right? Mm-hmm. Just wise. And so we do encourage a lot of what we do, Josh, is through those local churches and encouraging them to form a little leadership team and get involved that way. And so I would encourage everybody who's listening today to go talk to their leadership team at their church, go talk to their pastor, somebody on staff. Hey, what are we doing to follow God's heart for the orphan at our church? And, orphan is a weird word. We don't use that word in child welfare world, but in the church world, true religion is taking care of widows and orphans. And so that's where that word comes from. What are we doing to follow God's heart for vulnerable children? And that your local church can do more to raise awareness than any commercial on TV can do.
Yeah. So that does lead me into the next question then. What are some ways that our listeners can get involved with you guys, whether it is through talking with their pastor, donating, volunteering, anything, or if they want to foster a child, what's the process that they need to go through for that?
Yeah, so some of the easiest ways, really easy way is to go on our website, vakidsbelong.org, because that's where you'll just learn a whole lot about the different, we have a whole section on different ways you can get involved, whether it's helping birth families or becoming a foster parent, an adoptive parent, getting connected with kids who are older and what we say aging out of the system, meaning they are older teens who are probably not going to find an adoptive home, but that doesn't mean that we can't care for them. So that would be the first one. Second is, we are a nonprofit. We don't, and it's private, so we don't have government funding of any sort. So, and then you go to our website to donate as well. And then also our social media awareness is key. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at the moment. One thing I'll say about social media, I know a lot of people can feel like it's a little frivolous, but it's really not. For example, we've made some videos of kids in Virginia who are up for adoption right now, and it is so crucial that a lot of families, a lot of people see those videos so that they have a higher chance of somebody reaching out and saying, I would really love to become this kid's forever family. So even if you feel like, well, I'm a teenager, what could I possibly do? Share that on social media, because you will be amazed at how far your reach can go.
Yeah. You know, regarding everything that you guys do, I have heard a lot of passion from you guys. I think I've said that the past couple of shows, just because it's been everywhere. So why is what you guys do mean so much to you? And I'll start with you, Janet.
Oh, wow. It means a lot to me because when you're engaged in this space, you get a front row seat to what redemption looks like. And there's so much in this world that, you know, you're looking for sort of immediate gratification and you seek after it and it just never comes. And the foster care space and parenting a kid from a hard place or being involved in their lives certainly isn't instant, but it's deep. And you might have to wait for it, but when, you know, you start to see, and science is now proving what Scripture says. Scripture says that God is making all things new. He can make beauty out of ashes. He is turning things into new creations all the time and redeeming them. I get to see that every day. I get to see it in my house. I get to see it in my work. I get to see it with other families that are doing this. And, you know, politics was a great career. I had a lot of fun, actually. I was out before it got really bad. So, but, you know, my best day in politics doesn't touch my worst day in this field, because it feels like sort of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come on earth here as it is in heaven. That's what we're doing. There aren't any orphans in heaven. And so, you know, could we be making more money doing something different? For sure. Would we be as happy and fulfilled and have the significance that we have? Surely not.
It means so much to me because never have I felt a stronger sense of belonging. And, I mean, our name is Virginia's Kids Belong. These kids are in a space that is not supposed to be for any person. This sense of disconnection, alienation, not belonging. We are all designed to belong. We are communal creatures. We're designed to belong, and we're designed to belong in the context of what you might call a family. Now, that looks different. It's not what we might consider the nuclear family of American or Western last 50 years or so. But a family, I mean, you know what feels like a family when you're in it. I mean, you know, I mean, even if it's just a youth group, even if it's just, you know, something that maybe didn't get that term, but you know it when you feel it. And in this space, I feel it so much. I see these kids and I feel that they are my family. And sometimes it takes a little time, but eventually they feel the same way. And I mean, what is the kingdom of God if not that?
Well, as they said, you can go to vakidsbelong.org, find out all about how you can get involved. Follow them on social media. If you're looking to foster, that'd be, I mean, other than their website and just contacting them, it's another great place for you, you know, for you can, where you can see these kids and kind of see if there's any that, you know, you would be able to open your home to. And, you know, same thing with just contacting them, going onto their website. And, you know, if you're not able to foster a kid, then definitely go onto their Facebook and social media and share what they have. Because there may be someone in your friend group that is looking to foster, and maybe that's the way that, you know, is going to help them get that information. So, yeah, go online and check it out. Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Community Matters on Your Encouraging PER. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can always email me at josh@positivehits.org. That's Josh, J-O-S-H, at positivehits.org. This show will be posted on our website. You can go to yourper.com. It'll be resources at the top of the website. And as soon as you hover over it with your mouse, a little drop-down menu appears, and you can select Community Matters. It'll be the first show to appear, and you can re-listen to the show, share it with a friend. Catch up on parts you missed. I'll also include the link for Virginia's Kids Belong there as well. So, you know, if you're driving, you got a long drive ahead of you, it's early in the morning. You don't have to remember every little thing that was in the show. So it'll all be right there for you. So go online and check it out. Well, I want to thank everyone again for tuning in, and I hope everyone has a good and safe rest of their weekend, and stay safe on the roads.